Welcome to the Rack Room Podcast. Y'all know the drill. I'm ready to load up this music. When my people get in, I'm multitasking. So,
yep.
T Street.
What's going on?
What's good?
Chilling.
There we go. Who else tried to get in?
What up, fellas?
What's good? Everybody on time tonight. That's what I'm talking about. I ain't gonna have to dock nobody paycheck. Not everybody gonna get their full check this time, man. Reek Dawg.
What up?
What's up, man?
What up?
Ain't gotta whoop nobody feet.
Nope. Ain't gotta whoop nobody feet. None of that, man.
How you whipping feet, dog?
Hey, oh yeah, I'm looking at the title, not in the dock. How y'all week, man? What's going on, man?
Sheesh.
I ain't had the best week, man. I ain't gonna lie, man.
I couldn't say I had the best week. I ain't gonna say I had the worst week either. I cried like a baby, you know. My son's getting prepared because this is last year, so I kind of broke down yesterday at his school.
Oh,
he's getting prepared to go for so we were going over the numbers and college and everything, and I kind of broke down. So all week I've been like in this somber mood because I'm about to have two of my kids gone.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's time to have some fun in that house, huh?
Now it's about saying that. Mom, and I was like, I ain't even looking at it like it because I don't want my kids to leave me, you know what I'm saying? But I know they gotta go out and picture on their own.
Once you get over that, it's fun time,
right?
Right. Mr. Nasty Time.
Yes, well, welcome to the Rec Room Podcast. This is episode 76. The title of this episode is I'm Whooping Feet. And hey, we passed 75, so this episode 76. And you know, we usually start with sports. Me saying episode 70 something just sound crazy, but yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah.
And so you know how we do. We start with sports, and what's going on in sports right now is the NBA playoffs. Mm. Now, before, I think I had made a prediction that the Denver Nuggets were going to. I thought they were going to sweep the Lakers, but the Lakers did get a game. The Denver Nuggets is T Street's team. I think after they won the chip.
Nah, 2020.
Since
the bubble.
Since the bubble.
I know. You know what I'm saying? So they won the series 4-1. Minnesota, man, what's my man? Anthony Edwards.
Minnesota tough. I'm scared of them.
Man, they calling him the next Jordan or Kobe. Now, they just saying, like, not them exactly, but the next person with that mentality and the talent. He won it all. He ain't trying to make no friends. He trying to go at you, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so Minnesota won their series against Phoenix, which featured Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, and no one expected them to get swept. I really didn't expect that. I thought they would pull out at least two games or maybe even win the series, but they didn't do that.
No, they got
OKC swept New Orleans. New Orleans didn't have Zion Williamson. Nah. I think he would have made a big difference in that series.
Absolutely.
Brandon Ingram didn't play as well as he should have.
Nope.
And so they lost that series. Dallas is leading. They're winning over the Clippers 3-2, and it seems like they're probably gonna pull that one out. And then in the East, you got Boston beat Miami 4-1. That's not a surprise because there's no Jimmy Butler, and that's because he was injured. Cleveland leads this series 3-2 over Orlando. Indiana leads 3-2 over Milwaukee. It's an unfair battle. But the thing about Milwaukee, they battling, man, but they don't have Damian Lillard or they don't have Antetokounmpo, man. And those are their two main people. And their third, Chris Middleton, is not even 100%. So they just – for them to lose all them and they still in the series, like they not giving up, I think that's what's up. And then the Knicks lead Philly 3-2, and they have a banged up Joel Embiid. He's definitely not 100%, but Philly has no quit in them. Tyrese Maxey put up 46 points or 40-something points in the last game, and they get into it, man. So that's it with the sports. Oh, Caitlin Clark, you know, the thing about the WNBA, I didn't realize that they go right into, like, the season, right after the college is over. They back. I mean, they practicing this shit already. Mm-hmm. So that's getting ready to – that season's going to start soon, I think, like in a couple months or something like that. And so
it should be soon.
Yeah, so, you know, she's the face of everything. She got the shoe deal, Nike shoe deals. Anybody – Don, y'all, you going to get the new Caitlin Clark
Jones? Hell no.
Why not?
No. Absolutely not.
You ain't getting them? You ain't rocking them, Jones?
No,
okay.
Like, I mean, kudos to her. She doing her thing, but hell no. What the fuck I look like? No, no.
You ain't messing with it?
Okay. Nah, I ain't messing
if
with it.
If they fly, I buy them.
Yeah, depending on how they look, you know.
All depends on how they look. I buy them. They got them in my size. I'm definitely going to cop.
And you know, I really hope that it really boosts the – I know that she's like the great white hype for the WNBA, but to be honest, the more attention she brings to the WNBA, that can end up making those players get paid more and just uplift the sport. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it's a good thing.
They need her to succeed. They need her to succeed.
Exactly.
And I know the women don't like it. But that's your meal ticket right now. If y'all want to get the pay y'all think y'all deserve, she needs to succeed. Because if she doesn't, none of this stuff matters at all.
Yeah. So that's that.
Would you get them, JC?
It depends on how they look. I mean, it's a woman's shoe, but they make women's shoe that look dope. And some women's shoe don't even look like women's shoes.
Right.
So it depends. I mean, I'm all about how the shoe look. I don't care who make the joint, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or whose shoe it is. But so we do still have some more sports news. And this is about boxer Ryan Garcia. He tested positive for banned substance, O-strain. Now, for those who don't know, Ryan Garcia, he fought Devin Haney last week. And it wasn't a title fight. The reason it wasn't a title fight is because Ryan Garcia didn't come in. He was 3 pounds overweight. And I guess however they have it in the contract, if you're 3 pounds overweight or overweight, you don't make weigh in, then it's not a title fight. I think he came in that way, 3 pounds overweight on purpose because he just was trying to make sure that he was bigger and stronger so he could win. Mm-hmm. And it paid off.
Yeah.
But now they're saying he tested positive for some shit. So it says star boxer Ryan Garcia tested positive for the performance-enhancing substance, O-strain, the day before and the day of his upset win over Devin Haney last month. It says, per a voluntary anti-doping association letter sent to all parties Wednesday and obtained by ESPN, the urine samples were collected prior to the fight, but the results weren't known until later. That's weird that they
even that. Yeah, that's really weird.
That's weird that it said that they had the results.
I don't get that shit. If I'm boxing, shit, don't let nobody do that shit with me. If you see that they tested positive, why he get the fight? I don't know.
Yeah,
so
fight.
It says Garcia has 10 days to request that his B sample be tested. Garcia's A sample also screened positive for 19- noradrenaline, whatever that shit is. but his presence is unconfirmed until a further lab analysis. And Ryan Garcia replied to, you know, everybody's, well, to that news coming out. And I'm going to just play what his response was.
This bull fucking shit claim that I cheated.
Lies.
Yep. Everybody knows that I don't cheat. What can I say? You know, why didn't they come out with this before, you know, the fight? If they found it before, why would they let me step into the ring as a cheater and then come out with a victory and then they post this, you know? Again, these are people that are trying to attack me for whatever reason, but no weapon against me shall prosper. I never taken a steroid. I don't even know where to get steroids at the end of the day. I barely, you know, take supplements. They're saying it's coming from the ashwagandha. That's fucking retarded, so.
Lies.
Big lies. I beat his ass. Fuck out of here. Everybody go to Warwick tonight. It's lit.
And I was with this guy every single day.
So,
hey, you know what? You know what? Now that I heard that, it is weird that after he won the fight, Like if he didn't, if he wasn't eligible because he was doping, don't let the dude fight. Like y'all were just saying. Yeah. But it's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't get it. What you think, T Streets? Do you think that he did take a substance, or what you think?
I think he took the substance that he mentioned, that whatever that's called. And if it is part of the banned substance, his team should have known that before the fight. Yeah, the way that he talks about it, it seems like it shouldn't be on the list to him, yeah. to him and his team. So it could be something weird, or maybe he took something that he don't know about, or maybe he's just lying. Who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. The bottom line, he punished Devin Haney. I do know that.
Mm-hmm. Man, punish ain't the word.
Yeah, but I'm not a Devin Haney fan in terms of I like to see anybody be successful, and he's a tactical fighter, but when seeing him box, I never thought, like, you know what, he can run through everybody. I never had that thought about him. But big ups to him, man. I hope he bounced back. Maybe it'll make him better. You never know. Get a new trainer. Who knows? So that's another thing. Floyd Mayweather, I think he used to be in his camp because it seemed like he knows his father real well, and Devin Haney's father is the person that manages him. Mm-hmm. And Floyd was just saying, like, you know, don't get rid of you. I'm not saying get rid of your father. I'm just saying that you need another trainer, man. You know what I mean? So he said he told Devin Haney that. And so who knows how that's going to go. Sometimes it's tough when it's your parent and y'all come up together. Mm-hmm. And then it get ugly once you want to use somebody else. And his father seemed kind of ignorant anyway. So I don't know how it's going to go. Good luck. You know what I'm saying? Good luck. Good luck, man. So this story is this is from, what's it called, dfrito.com, some shit like that. It says, woman set her last text vehicle on fire for not being able to be serviced. So there's a video that shows a woman set her last text vehicle on fire for not being able to be serviced. They're still trying to figure out the rationale behind this. A video is currently going viral on social media showing the moment a woman set her last text vehicle on fire. It says, according to reports reaching us at Dad's World, the woman set her last text car on fire for not being able to be serviced. It says, we gathered that the last text texted the scornful woman 2 days prior, asking if she can come over to get serviced, but she ignored it. The woman, however, replied when she felt like it. Then the last text told her she was ready. She was already booked. The woman got so angry and she drove over an hour to make a scene and eventually set the last text vehicle on fire. It says the incident was captured on video. And now I'm trying to see if she got, it doesn't say if she got locked up or not. But I guess they said
she on the call with us, Donnie. Tell us about why you do that? Why you do that?
Hey, you know what's funny? Donnie, I was going to ask you, have you ever been that upset? Put like this, you know, in any service, whether it was a beautician doing your hair, a nail tech getting your nail, have you ever had to cuss anybody out?
I have had to cuss somebody out before when it came to my hair. A girl, you know, that I was real cool with, she did my hair for my birthday, and then I told her, like, it wasn't, like, good or anything like that. I had patches, all this other stuff going on, and I asked her if she could redo it. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't got no more time. It's for my birthday. My birthday was next day. Okay. Shawty, like, I don't get no refunds and all this other stuff. So I threatened to beat her up, threatened to pop up on her job. I did go the next day, but she ain't show up to work because I was really going to tear her ass up off of that one because I gave you $250 for you to play in my hair. And I had to end up doing my own hair.
Was that somebody that you go to all the time, or what?
I had went to her before, so I had liked her work. Right. And me, I do my own hair, so I'm like, I didn't want to do my own hair for my birthday. I was just like, I'd rather pay somebody $250 to do an install, and you fuck my shit up. Like, nah, you gotta see me. She's still on my list too. it's been a couple years, but she's still on my list though.
Yeah, Van Rob. I just want to say, what's up to Van Rob?
Hey,
she hit every week.
What's up, Van?
Now, Reek, have you ever got a haircut that made you feel like that you wanted to fight? Okay.
your headline back a little bit.
Absolutely. God, look, I was in, I think we was in Hammond T or TC, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim, God rest his soul, God bless the dead, pushed my headline back so far.
You was beefing Reek.
Oh, bruh, but like at that time, I wasn't angry. So I didn't know how to react. But you ever seen that meme of that coach and his hairline is like back, like towards the back of his head?
Yeah,
yeah, that's yeah, that job, like that, what he did. Damn. Oh man, I was heated. Look, I mean, I spoke to dude, but I was, look, I just wore a hat. Like it wasn't that it wasn't bad as like.
Well, you lucky you was in school then, because if you was in school, you wouldn't have been able to wear a hat.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah.
Now I've had barbers mess my hair up. I had a barber cut the joint too low and all stuff like that, but I never had like a haircut where it was to the point where it was like, you know, one to fight type type. I did get the Beijing too heavy one time. But.
The Beijing, you got
the Beijing.
Yeah, well, my barber. So you know what it was when I was going to get a haircut. he was trying. You know, if you get Beijing, you get the barber can charge you more. Yeah. So he was introducing it to me. This was years ago when I didn't really know what it was. He was like, man, look, I can size you. You know, put the Beijing in your joint, whatever, like that. And I'm like, all right, bet. I tried it out. I didn't need it, but I tried it. Man, that shit look crazy. I got a picture with that shit. Like, man, fuck that. I got that shit like twice. I never again, man.
So you went back. So you liked it. You liked it.
I thought it was all right, but I thought. But once you take a picture and you look, and I'm saying, damn, that shit. You can really tell it's Beijing. Like, nah, he did a good job, but it was just like, nah, dog, I can't do that shit unless I need it, Slim. So bruh. I wasn't beefing with him. But
hey, bro, yeah. T, what about you? You got a messed up hairdo or something before?
I've messed up somebody's head, and I've had a messed up haircut.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you got somebody's head, too?
I was a part of a murdering of my man Jeff, God bless the dead.
Yeah.
We cut his head. He wouldn't come out the house. We were trying to go to the mall. He wasn't coming out the house unless he had a haircut, so he let me and my man BY cut his head. And it did not come out. Okay, no, it was bad.
Y'all experiment on that man head.
It was bad. But mine, what happened to me, I was in 10th grade when this happened. My man who used to live in the neighborhood, he had moved to Largo or somewhere in Maryland. And he came back one weekend to visit. And he used to cut my hair since like 7th grade. So I'm getting a haircut from him. He's looking out the window at everybody playing basketball. This little hair. He fucked my head. I had to cut it all off and go bald.
Yep.
Then that's fucked up. You made me think about I was beefing with before I got my regular barber. There was a barber who I would go to him all the time. He'd be high. I knew he was high. I thought he could cut good. No, I did. You know how you go. You know, nigga, high. And I'm like, he cut my head.
Hey Trey, you in the closet, Trey? Trey, you in the closet?
And he did one side of my beard wide and the other side was skinny. And it was to the point, you know, it was like ridiculous. After that, I actually went to another barber. You know what I mean? So sometimes barbers get that shit. I'm like, no, you need to put that fucking weed down. But,
I take it back.
For real, man.
I just had a thought. It wasn't my man Tim that gave me the worst cut. When I was younger, my mother didn't know no better.
You got the mother haircut?
No, she took me to this Asian lady.
Oh my God.
She took me to Miss Kim. And Miss Kim.
Miss Kim.
Oh, she
fucked your hair.
She fucked my shit up.
Trey faint laughs.
Hey, Trey, Hey, Trey, you don't got your real headphone? Because we already charged you 50.
You already dark cut?
Yeah, man, you sound like
I sound crazy. Okay.
You
like you in the bathroom.
I'm Yeah, you need the real headphones, man. So that mean, man, yeah, I'm going to have to keep that price. You had to get Doc that money, man.
Hey, I'm just leaving the game. We got our ass whooped so bad, I started rooting for the other team.
Hey, man. Rand Bro, so you got that McDonald's Wi-Fi, man. You need to hurry up. So you need to hurry up and get your ass to the house, man. And put on some headphones. So that was that with that story. Now, this is so y'all know that they've been talking about banning TikTok. And that would be, you know, there's a lot of reasons why, you know, the government say one reason, because security. But people just feel like that, you know, a lot of people make money off of TikTok, have been able to leave their job and all type of stuff like that. And then they say that TikTok reveals a lot of information that the government wouldn't want you to know. They talk about all type of alien shit. Everything you can, anything you can think of on TikTok, you can find. Ghost stories, everything. And so they're trying to get rid of it. And I think some type of vote had went in, and what the Senate, I don't know, which one of them voted to ban it. And then a House votes to possible ban TikTok. So it says the House passed legislation Saturday that would ban TikTok in the United States and the popular social media platform's China-based owner if he doesn't sell his stake within a year. I don't understand why he would have to do that. But yeah. It says, but don't expect the app to go away anytime soon. The decision by the House Republicans to include TikTok as part of a larger foreign aid package, a priority for President Joe Biden, with broad congressional support for Ukraine and Israel, fast-tracked the ban after an earlier version had stalled in the Senate. A standalone bill with a shorter 6-month selling deadline passed the House in March by an overwhelming bipartisan vote, as both Democrats and Republicans voiced national security concerns about the app's owner, the Chinese technology firm ByteDance LTD. So with all that said, it just seems like it's in the works, but it still has to, there's still a way to go before it can actually get banned. And then the CEO actually did a video basically trying to let everybody know, hey, you know, we're going to fight for this, our right to have TikTok. Mm-hmm. We're going to fight. TikTok doesn't do anything security wise. And we're not trying to go nowhere. So
I have an overall question. So, all right, we're trying to, or the U.S. government is trying to ban TikTok, blah, blah, blah. Now, don't we owe China some trillions of dollars for the national debt? That's who we owe, right? Mm-hmm. It's China. How the hell can we tell them to do anything? America, it's really the United States of China. That's really what it is. They just haven't taken over yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just odd. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it will get banned.
I don't think so either. It's a lot that rides on, you know, TikTok, and there's a lot of people that's standing with TikTok on that, you know, and like most of us believe, it is like that money grab. Is if they can't get anything from it, then they try to take over it.
Exactly.
It's no different from history, you know.
Make a better app.
Make a better app.
They've said that there's actually security risk with it. That if it came down to it, China would be mining the data of all the people in the United States that use it. They're just trying to keep it from.
Just want to mine all the data.
I mean, probably, yeah. They want all the data for themselves. Yeah. Exactly. That's what they do. Because at the end of the day, how many apps on your phone probably collecting data from you?
All of them.
Something else going on to where they don't want China, a Chinese app on your phone. And I think it would probably be the same if it was a Russian app. They probably wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
So it might be worse.
I love TikTok, man. I ain't gonna lie.
I do TikTok too.
I actually be on that shit too much.
Me too.
That shit like a rabbit
TV.
Hole.
I don't watch TV. I'll be on TikTok. Yes,
like, it's too many apps, man. It's like you got Instagram, man. Facebook, yes, TikTok.
But it ain't
I deleted
TikTok,
Facebook.
Though.
I deleted Facebook. Yes. I was looking at three different apps. I said, I'm not looking at all this shit all day. I deleted Facebook. I still have Instagram and TikTok, man. I just be on TikTok too much.
Yeah.
That shit crazy. But
TikTok life, man. I'll tell you. What?
Yeah, I fuck with TikTok. Now, did y'all hear about this? This is from NBC News, and it says a man dies after setting himself on fire outside the courthouse where Trump trial is being held. It says a man set himself on fire after throwing pamphlets on the ground in a park, police said. He was in the designated protest area. It says this article contains some disturbing, I guess, images. Says a man who set himself on fire Friday outside the courthouse where former President Donald Trump's hush money trial is taking place has died, New York City police said earlier. Said the man, whom identified as Maxwell Azero of St. Augustine, Florida, was in the designated protest area outside. No time of death was given by police. He was declared deceased by the staff at the hospital where he had been taken to. The NYPD said. NYPD Chief Department Jeffrey Madry told reporters that Azello walked into the center of the park, shuffled around his clothes, opened a backpack, and took out and threw numerous pamphlets on the ground. He then pulled out a canister and poured a liquid accelerant on himself, lit himself on fire, fell on a police barrier, and then fell to the ground. Police said the man entered Collect Pond Park across the street from the courthouse around 1:30 p.m. before setting himself on fire. Bystanders and court officers and police used coats to fire extinguishers to try to put it out to help him, but it didn't work. And it says it appeared to happen around the time that the jury for Trump's trial was fully impaneled, with 12 jurors and 6 alternates selected to sit for a trial that's expected to last about 6 weeks, and it occurred just before the court took a lunch break. That is crazy, and that is crucial.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. I just burned my hand on a damn pan I was taking out the damn oven, right? I couldn't imagine, like, pouring shit on my body, lighting myself on fire. That is crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's like the second or third protest of setting himself on fire.
Yeah,
bro. But do you know let's just really think about that. Do you know how mentally gone that you would have to be to do something like that? I mean, real talk, because I mean, to me, that's unimaginable to set yourself on fire. You know what kind of death that is?
That's a horrible death.
And you doing that because you don't want, I mean, I don't understand the reason. I guess because he didn't want Trump to get, I don't get it. See, they don't have the history.
Yeah, they don't have the history.
I need to know the history of his background, and was he a troubled kid? Was he known for, because that's not the norm for someone to do something like that.
Look, anytime you take your time and you make all them flyers and for nothing, no, you sick in the head, bro. Ain't nobody going to your party. Ain't nobody going to your nothing. Hey, look, come on now. Hey, look, and he mad because he think Biden and Trump are in. I think his sign said Biden and Trump are together. They the same person or something. Some stupid shit.
Oh, no.
These people just take this shit just too damn far.
I don't know if he had a family and all that, but God damn, man, it don't never get that bad.
Probably was trying to get some attention. Like, I guess, you know how people try and make a mark and they, you know, it's like if they go out, they want to go out with a bang. Man. Like, this kind of looking like that type of situation.
It seemed like it, but you know, the reality of life is, man, people talk about that shit one day and move on to the next thing, the next. So the impact that you think you have on doing something like that is really your family. That's who you impact. You impact the world. You impacted your loved ones. And and people have mental issues. And so I don't know his thing, but I know that there's a certain selfishness that comes with things like that. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure, I would think, who knows, but a lot of times people do have somebody that love them. I would hope, you know, so I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, that was crazy, yeah. Nat. Let's get into this rap beef shit, man.
Ooh, slow.
I'm going to let T-Streets go ahead and just kind of break down the latest of at least what's happening. So yeah,
let's start at the Chris Brown and Quavo. Let's start there because the latest is the main event. Let's start at Chris Brown and Quavo. Chris Brown fired his shot. I don't even remember the name of the song.
I can't even.
What's the name of the Weakest Link? Weakest Link. Yeah, it was when Chris went crazy on it. I can't tell you any bars because I haven't heard it in 2 weeks. But Chris went absolutely crazy on it. It was impressive. It was actually, it's probably the best diss out of all the disses so far.
Especially for him to be an R&B singer.
For him to be an R&B singer as well.
Yeah.
Like, he went crazy. And I didn't think Quavo would respond. But Quavo came back with the, what was it? Bitches and Hoes and the whatever the name of that joint is. I like it. I like it.
I do too.
A lot of people hated on it.
They did, bro.
But
you know, I didn't like it.
Quavo is not a lyricist like
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
So, nah. That shit was fly though. I like it. The tempo, like everything. It, like, added yes. Everything.
Yep.
You got me. You over here beefing over hoes. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
That shit was funny.
And then he had Take Off on the hook. I mean, that shit was dope to me. I mean, you know, it's like the internet. That shit crazy. They opinions, but
why did he need to make a diss record with Take Off on it? Why he couldn't just do it by himself? Because Chris didn't need no, you know what I'm saying, no backup.
Because Chris said it should have been you instead of Take Off. So he's gonna put his family on the record.
Yeah, and it made the song better.
It made the song a lot better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I liked it because of that very reason.
Oh yeah.
Nah, it was great. Now if that wasn't his blood, then maybe I might feel the same way as you, Donnie. But that's his blood, so so I'm with it.
Mm-hmm. It was good. I liked it.
All right, so before T move on, let me ask y'all who basically everybody considers this at this point that Chris Brown is up 1-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris is.
I'm saying to me, my opinion. I'm saying it's a tie.
Yeah, it's a draw. Opinion. It's a draw.
I'm
yeah, it's
saying a draw. Lyrically, Chris was better.
Yeah, but you know what I'll say about the Chris Brown one? This is what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say that I don't give a fuck how good he rap. It still sounds like you know. You still know it's Chris Brown. Rapping, and you know that Chris Brown sings for real. So
yeah.
it's something about Quavo's this song that was authentic because he is more of a rap artist. So it just seemed more authentic to me. Now, I'm not Chris Brown, dope. Chris Brown, talented. He rap good as shit. I'm not taking nothing from it. But if you ask me, I'm going to go with a draw right now. That's my opinion on that beat.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing. It's mainly because Quavo surprised me more than anything. I was expecting this to be easy for Chris, and it's not. It's not that easy.
No.
And Quavo attacking him with the right angle. He's attacking him the way he's supposed to attack him. Now, pause everything. It's going to be some pause-worthy stuff said sometimes in this brat beef stuff. So I'm not pausing everything. I'm saying it one time only.
Let's get it.
So, before we get to the main event, did anybody hear Kanye West with his remix to Like That throwing his hat in the ring?
I did.
I only heard it on, I heard it when he went on Justin the Voice thing. I didn't hear it like officially, but I heard it when he played some of the lyrics on his podcast, on Justin the Boy, whatever his name, his podcast. I heard.
Okay, why Kanye can't just sit back and let these two or let everybody know he gotta take all the attention. He's like a sponge.
He wants your attention.
Soaking up all the attention. Trying to anyway.
About him. Yeah,
and the shit was whack. Except for the beat. The beat was
I
dope.
Like the beat. The beat
was crazy. The beat was dope. Yeah. The beat was dope. But it was just like, okay, Kanye, that's what's up. Let's move on. You know what I mean? It was because it's like, you know, the only thing that I don't like is like, okay, we really, really, what everybody wants to see is the Kendrick, Drake, joint. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you have a person, you have Rick Ross jumping in, you have Kanye jumping in, and so it just make it, I mean, like, me personally, I'm not even paying attention to them. Mm-hmm. I'm only focused on Drake and Kendrick. That's it for me. That's it. That's the only two that I'm paying attention to. But go ahead, T-Street.
That's it, but now we fast forward to the main event, and last week, Drake attempted his back-to-back, and he put out the record, the AI record with the Pac voice and the Snoop voice, where he was just, you know, basically taunting Kendrick, like, drop your record. Yeah, I'm here now. You've been baiting me for 10-plus years. Now I'm here. I'm ready. Drop your record. Stop bullshit.
And I'm gonna play some of this shit, this AI shit. Hold on, y'all. This irritated me, but I'm gonna play it anyway. You supposed to be the boogeyman, go do what you do. Unless this is a moment that you tell us it's not really you.
Ew.
But
still, you gotta show the fucking eyes. Who's boss on the west? Now's the time to really make a power move.
Cause right now it's looking like you're writing out the game plan for how to lose. He sound like Drake with a different voice and shit. Like, you don't even sound man. That shit, I'm sorry, dog.
Why would he do that?
You know why I think he did that? It has to be, he has to have something invested in one of these AI companies, man. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can think of. That there's no other reason to do some shit like that unless you have an investment or, you know, some ties with one of the companies. Cause that shit,
it's smart though. It is creatively is smart. Now, because I'm from the 90s era, 80s era, I don't respect it, but I can see it worked with all the youth. The Gen Zs and whatever we're in now. It works with them because this is their life. This is what they grew up in. They grew up in all of this. They welcome the AI movement where the older folks are a little more hesitant. We may like some aspects of it, but we're a little more hesitant. We think about iRobot. We think about the shit that the movies have showed us when the robots attack us, or at least I think about that. So, but the Drake joint was, I like Drake's verse. I do like Drake's verse on that song, but.
But it don't sound like it's a diss, though.
It's a diss. If you hear Drake verse, he dissed him on the verse. But it's
shocking. I'm talking about the song, the instrumentals and.
The beat.
The beat. Like, it doesn't sound like a diss.
It's a Dr. Dre. It's a Dr. Dre beat. So he did, he's mocking Kendrick. He used the AI to use the West Coast guys. He make it sound like a Dre beat. The piano chords on that, it sound like a Dre piano chord that he used in a lot of his beats.
Oh, that's corny.
So it's all strategic. It's all strategic.
It's strategic for people, like real people that like really know the music. But like, if you trying to like really get your attention or get everybody's attention on that, that ain't nothing. People are like myself gonna be like, "What is this?"
Yeah, that was his. Come on, Kendrick, just put your record out. That was that, because his real one was the one we covered a couple weeks back, the Push-Ups record.
Yeah,
that was his real one, which was great. That was great when it came to the disses to everybody but Kendrick. Like, he didn't really, he just talked about Kendrick's feet, foot size, and his height.
Yeah. So, honestly, he went more at, what is it, Metro Boomin, and he was going at everybody. He didn't have much smoke for Kendrick in that song.
What you talking about?
The first joint.
Yeah, the first joint.
You said a couple things, but nothing major. So really, Drake had to really release his song yet. So that's what we're truly waiting on, his Kendrick focused song, which should come next.
Now,
y'all think he can do it?
Well,
yeah, Drake.
Yeah. Now Kendrick ended up putting out his diss song, so everybody was waiting. And who had made a point? What's my man who's a good producer, white dude that did a lot of Mobb Deep joints?
Alchemist.
Alchemist. So Alchemist was on the pod and he was saying something like, he didn't understand why people want you to respond so quick. He said, because if you really look at it, he was talking about when Jay-Z and Nas was battling, and they were saying, I didn't realize this, that it took Nas like months to respond to Jay-Z. I didn't even realize that. So he was just like, he don't understand why people want people to respond in days. But that's just the time that we in now. So everybody was waiting for Kendrick Lamar to put out his diss, and he did. And the name of the song is Euphoria. And I'm just going to play a little clip just because they'll, you know, put a warning on us or whatever because of the music. But I'm just going to play a little clip. But in the song, he starts off, just to describe it, he starts off on a chill beat, a laid-back beat. And then when you first hearing it, you thinking like, damn, mm-hmm. okay, he going to just diss him on a laid-back joint. And then the beat turns where it picks up, like, you know, Meek's, that Meek intro. And then he goes into a part where he starts mocking that accent. I can't think where them people from, but that London accent. He started kind of mocking that because I guess a lot of Drake's artists are from there, or in Toronto, that culture is there, or they have some of that.
Yeah, they speak French in Toronto.
So let me just play some of Kendrick's joint. Not about who the greatest is, always been about love and hate. Now let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. I hate the way that you sneak this. If I catch flight, it's gonna be direct. We hate. Now that's just a snippet. For those who haven't heard the song is what, maybe 5 minutes, 5 or 6
six
minutes?
Six minutes.
Anybody who hasn't heard it, I would say listen to it. Now, when I first listened to it, it was good to me, you know what I mean? But I liked it. But after I kept listening, it was better and better because Drake gives you just all the bars that you can understand. He's not trying to, he's trying to give you like a dance slash diss record. He's just basic with the words. But if you listen
that's
to
not
Kendrick,
true. That's not true.
You don't think so? Well, no. Well, to me, in comparison to those two songs, Kendrick actually like barred up, and he has like bars where you have to listen back and be like, okay, that's what that meant. Some people don't like that. Some people don't just want to hear the song and they don't want to have to decipher shit. They just want you to go straight at it. Mm-hmm. Kendrick took his time to do this record, and to me, listening to it, you can tell he took his time. I think it's fire. That's my opinion on it.
I think everything about it is fire. I hated this record when I first heard it. I didn't like it. It was the slow start, the Teddy P beat that I was like, what is he doing? And then some of the lines I liked, some I was like, why are you sparing him? What is this? I hated this record at first. I was gonna kill him today. And then I had time to listen to it. And then since 92, I've been breaking down lyrics. I've been decoding lyrics. So that's, I love this type of rap. I love it. Once I did that, I was like, oh, this man, he's talking to him. But it's still jabs. It's like Mayweather. He's Mayweathering. He's punching the shit out of him on the combos, on the replies. He replied to everything. He barely wasted a bar in the song. Almost every bar means something. And I'm still mm-hmm. finding out what some of the stuff means. I'm still listening back like, oh, wow. He dissed J. Cole a lot more than I thought in the song originally. Like, he went crazy lyrically. It's a perfectly written for the lyrical miracle guys that love to break down bars. This is perfect for you.
Reek, what you feel about it?
I thought, like, my first time listening to it, I was like, I didn't like the way it was mixed. For some reason, I didn't like his vocals on top. You could hear his vocals and the music didn't sound like they mixed well. Okay. But that's another story. But it took me a couple times to actually listen to it like everybody else. And then I was like, oh, this shit is fire. Like, he's really killing him. And like the Teddy Pendergrass beat that he had first, and then midway through the second beat, he started amping up and started killing him, especially when he went into that all of that. Like, at that point, that's when he started to really, really dig in and started killing him. So, I mean, the song had so many levels. I mean, it was fire to me. Man. It was everything I wanted.
He told Drake, when I see you with what's that sexy red? I think.
Oh,
you,
yeah, yeah.
What did he say? He said, I think you think you see two bad bitches.
Yeah, but see,
he said you're gonna end up twerking with him and shit.
Exactly. Everything he said about Drake is something that we feel like. Everybody has felt some shit about Drake, but I felt all of that shit. I don't like the way
I've never
Drake
felt nothing about Drake.
Drake is a horrible dresser, dog.
He can't dress. No, he can't dress. But it's other than that, man, I think he's a phenomenal artist, man.
No, as like, far as an artist, but like some of that personal shit, I don't like the way he treats women. Like, that shit crazy. Nope.
You know how you started the conversation? You talked about when he did the London/Toronto rap.
Yeah,
and that Crody. He kept saying Crody at the end. That's Toronto slang, which means bro, basically.
Okay.
Bro. But it's a double entendre. Drake's cat name is Crody. He's calling him a pussy.
Oh, shit. See, that's what I'm saying. I would have never caught that if you didn't say that.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. So it seems like when it's like it's mixed reviews. Well, no, I won't say it's mixed. When people are putting out these polls that have been on Instagram on different pages that I've looked at, and most of the polls have people voted that Kendrick's song Euphoria, they say that they like it better than Drake's song. But then you still have a lot of people in the comments that are saying that they like Drake's song better. So it looks like to me, it seems like a lot of people are just picking who they are a fan of. Instead of listening to the music, but I get it. Drake's one is pretty cool. Kendrick's is pretty cool. You ask me, I'm taking Euphoria over Drake's diss, man.
Mm. Absolutely.
And be clear, this is all just jabs, really. Just a power. It's power jabs.
Yeah, right? It is.
Because really, Kendrick didn't truly expose anything new. Everything he said, we knew already.
And vice versa.
Right.
Yeah, it was gonna like, pop it off.
Pusha T said it. Joe Budden said it. Somebody said that this is first that Kendrick had to say about Drake. Most of them, anyway. Like, except for the little jokes, like the sexy red shit. That was all original, and a couple other original lines. But a lot of the things, even attacking his blackness or him feeling like he's not black enough, that's a different angle on his blackness. Instead of just saying you're not black, you don't feel black enough. Different angle, but same shit.
Yeah,
you know, Cameron said on It Is What It Is. He was saying that he said he wasn't trying to diss or anything like that, but he just didn't understand how Kendrick could be trying to pull that card when Kendrick's wife is mixed with black and white.
She black either way.
And so Mace was like, yeah, now you giving you giving Drake Abbo. And Cam was just like, nah, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just making, just making a point. So we'll see.
Drake is OVO. I mean, Cam and Mace are OVO. They had OVO jackets on.
Okay, okay.
On the show so that last season.
Okay.
They're OVO.
That makes sense. So we'll see who puts out the next record. It'll be Drake. If I'm thinking about it, it'll probably be soon. And I think this one, he will have no choice. At some point, they're going to have to get personal and really go at each other, or it's going to be a cartoon beef. And that's cool, too, if that's what they want to do. But most beefs, you have to start getting real personal. And they haven't really gotten that type of personal. You know, a lot of times you rap on a hard beat and get personal. I don't know if they're going to take it there, or maybe they'll keep it friendly in terms of the lyrics. We don't know. So anyway, this article right here, is from what site is this? MenSXP.com, right? So this says 7 types of friends you're allowed to leave behind and move on from life. It says one of the most bittersweet things about life is that it keeps changing every minute of every hour of every day. When we grow up, we experience things we haven't before, and one part of those experiences is coming across and making all sorts of friends. From the ones who we have been with since we were a little kid to the ones you've made at the gym, from the one preferred friend you wrote in school in a school exercise to the one you connected with on social media. The list is endless. They said, and rightfully so, I might add that life is a little too long to spend alone. Which is why, whether we or not, we find companion or finding a partner in crime, aka friend, is always more important. However, like all things, friendships too need to end. Sometimes, especially since there's a chance that we grow older, we tend to outgrow a few relationships. And it says in this article here, a few kinds of friends that might be okay for you to leave behind as life happens to you. Now, the first one says, oh, shit, I didn't.
You lost your turn?
You no, no, nah, I hit the article, John. Okay, so the first type of friend that might be okay for you to really, and y'all tell me if y'all experience this, the first type of friend is friends who are really never happy for you. Says these kinds are also called snakes because when the time comes, they are the first ones to rain on your happy parade. So have y'all ever had a friend where, you know, you tell them something that you got going on positive in your life, and then and you can tell in their response, like you ever had a person like they say, oh, that's what's up. But you can hear in their tone that they don't really believe that that's what's up. They really feel they a little envious and jealous.
Yeah.
They're saying that that's the type of friend that you can let go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's number one. Now, this is a good one. Friends of your ex. Let's face it. The only reason you were close to them that would hang out and y'all would hang out every day is because of your ex, who is clearly not in the picture anymore. So unless you genuinely befriended one from their pack, it's okay to move on from these friendships. Now, that's a tough one, and I think we kind of touched on that. Sometimes you have friendships through relationships. So that's just like, for instance, T Street got a girlfriend, somebody he's dealing with. He's been in a relationship with her for 7 years, and because of that, she's at all the stuff that we double date. We go double dating and all that type of stuff. And then maybe your female, your wife or your girlfriend becomes friends with her, with his friend, and then they end up breaking up. Do they stay friends, or because now they broken up, that can't be your friend any longer? So I'm gonna give an example. I know I just talked, whatever. So I'm gonna give an example of something that happened to me. And so one of my friends was married, actually one of my best friends. He was one of the best men in my wedding, and he was married, and me and my wife were married. So we were all close. We went on a couple like trips together, hang out, go to each other's house, all of that. And my wife and his wife became close friends. You move forward, time passed. And they ended up getting a divorce. And so once they got divorced, I think that, my man was, if he had it his way, we wouldn't be talking to her at all. Mm-hmm. But the thing was that we had already established like a genuine friendship. Mm-hmm. And so my wife still kind of kept in touch with her. Now, they weren't hanging out all the time and hanging all the time, but they had a real friendship. So they would hang out from time to time. When my man got remarried to a new person. And so by him doing that, now my wife is not super friends with, but my man, he doesn't know that. So I'm thinking that he thinks that his ex-wife and my wife are real close. And I don't know this, but mm-hmm. I think he may have told his wife. I don't know, but it just feels like he doesn't want my wife and his new wife to be close friends, because he doesn't know, he's not positive if my wife still talks to his ex-wife. So that's an example of some real life shit that happened, right? What do y'all think about that?
Shoot, like, who? I'm a little, you know, because I mean, I kind of get that, because the one thing about me is that, like, if I have an ex, or, you know, like, I don't want nobody I'm cool with to be friends with my ex. I'm not going to be friends with your ex or your friends or whatever the case may be, because I feel like that's a way that somebody could still keep tabs. You know what I'm saying? And me,
yeah, and that's probably how he felt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want... And then it don't even have to be like you gossiping, but information do come out. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So it's like me, I don't want my ex to know nothing about me, or I don't want to know nothing about my ex. So I've actually ended friendships because it's like, nah, you affiliated with that person. I don't want that person to be uncomfortable thinking that you telling me their business.
Well, you don't think that's unfair? Because what happens sometimes is that if you know someone for like 10 years, sometimes that person feels just as family as you are. Mm-hmm. And so now that you break up with that person and you like, yeah, I don't fuck with them no more, so you can't. It's like, huh? Me and that person hang out when you not, you know what I mean? It gets tough like that.
It depends on how severe the breakup was, how tumultuous it was. If it ended on really bad terms, then I would not want nobody to befriend an ex of a friend, my ex, or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? But if we ended on amicable agreement or whatever the case may be, then fine. I feel like it's cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never really had a situation like that. I don't have no situations. And plus, once everybody leaves, especially if I'm in a relationship and we break up, everybody takes all their bags, everything they came in with, and they go. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes their separate ways. I don't got to talk to your friends. You ain't got to talk to mine. But you know, it's just the way it is.
And then this interesting podcast said it depends on the conditions of the situation that led to the breakup, which is very true.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is very true.
And like I had a situation. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you good.
I had a situation, you know, where I was cool with, you know, one of my ex's mom. Like we were super cool. Same sign, all that, you know, and we both kind of fell back because we both did not know whether or not it would be appropriate because he had moved on. So it was like, I think both of us kind of suffered in that type of situation because we both wanted to be respectful to him and his situation. But at the same time, it's like, dang, I miss, you know what I'm saying? I miss this person. You know, this is my homie. So it's kind of complicated because you don't know like how that person truly feels. And sometimes they'll be like, don't talk to that person no more, or you can't be cool with that person no more because I'm not with them. You know, so.
Yeah, that happened. I have another situation. I don't know why this shit happened to me. So my cousin, my female cousin, our birthday the same day. She's a year older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her husband been together since 2010. Me and him, cool as shit. And now they're getting a divorce. And so she told me, you know, I guess it was one of those situations where he told her, like, you know, I don't want you contacting my family. And she's like, well, I don't want you contacting my family either. Me and him, we were tight. Like, I look at him as a family member, you know what I mean? And my son and my cousin, they him and my son are around the same age. And so he still follows me on Instagram. He'll tell me happy birthday and stuff like that. But when I saw my female cousin about 2 weeks ago, she was like, hey, you know, don't reach out to him. I don't, you know, you can do what you want, but I don't really want you talking to him.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's my cousin. That's my blood. I'm going to respect it. Sometimes when people go through stuff or divorce at first, it's bad, but then they end up being cool and everything gets normal. So they're going through the motions right now. So it's heavy on them. I'm going to be respectful to my cousin. It's not like me and him hung out all the time, but I got a lot of love for him. You know what I mean? Like, I will text him on his birthday and say happy birthday. He'll text me like, I don't see myself stopping doing that. At the end of the day, I might hook up with his son, who is they're cousins. You know what I mean? So it's just one of the things where I'm out of it. They try not to put me in it, but it's like it's just weird, man. It's just weird when you formulate a relationship and a bond with people, and then it's just like, nah, I ain't fucking with him. You don't fuck with him. I'm loyal to my blood, but I'm not going to carry him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be extra and be hitting him up and asking what he doing and all that shit. But I'm not going to carry him either, man.
You know, listen. Two of my best female friends are, they were, one was friends with an ex in my 20s. And I met her through that girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still great today. The other one was married to one of my guys who was my roommate in my 20s. They ended up getting married in their 30s. She's my other best female friend.
Mm-hmm.
If I get to know them and actually build a friendship, I don't care if you break up. That's my friend. If I don't really have that relationship outside of just y'all as a couple, then it's over.
Nah, I think it's so much different. You know what I'm saying? Because I think because I'm loyal, it's like my folks got to be loyal too. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm loyal to my folks and my folks be like, look, I don't want you, you know what I'm saying, you know, fucking with this motherfucker, then I got to respect that. You know what I'm saying? And no, we can't conversate on no type of level. Like, hell no. Nah. And I would expect for somebody to be like, I'm never going to tell nobody to not talk to nobody, but I will let them know, like, hey, look, this is a situation. This is what happened to me. You know what I'm saying? If you feel like, you know, you still want to maintain a relationship or a friendship with this person, then cool. But, you know,
that goes to the comment that this interesting podcast made. He basically said, like, it just depends on the circumstances,
right,
on what happened. Everybody doesn't break up on terrible terms. So everybody doesn't. It's not always abuse. That's not always the situation. But anyway, this is, I'm going to be number three. That's you, Trey. You in the building, Trey. You in the building.
Listen, man. Hey, listen. I had to jump on with Donnie. Donnie so full of it. because Donnie, you know what type of person Donnie? Donnie type of person where she'll be wrong. And she still expect you not to talk to the person that she was wrong to.
Yeah, it seemed like
that. You know what I'm saying? Like you was wrong, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Hey,
see,
I rushed home.
Donnie takes accountability.
Not all the time.
Oh, yes, all the time.
got it. We got her.
One thing about me, I'm too truthful. So if you
we
don't
got
me taking my accountability and my
really
truthfulness,
right,
then that's your problem, not mine.
Hey, but check this out. Did she say something? Okay, anyway. So listen, check it out. Hey, so listen. So I know a girl, right? I can't talk too loud. I know a girl. Okay. It's reasons why I can't talk loud. But look, I know a girl. I know a lady who was dating this dude. She was dating this dude, right? Mm-hmm. She wanted to leave him. But she was real cool with the dude mother. You know, they go hang out, whatever, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So she trying to move on with her life. The young boy starts stalking her. Like, he starts stalking her. So she see her. He pull up on her at like 5 a.m. She going to work. Her friend coming to pick her up from work, right, to go to work. Mm-hmm. Her car was broke down. Homie was outside. This nigga pulled a gun out and shot at her friend. Shot at him, right? Wow. He shot at his tires and all that. So anyway, he pull off, right? When I tell you stalking, I mean stalking where police got involved, whatever. You know that this girl is still going on trips with that boy mother to this day, but he doesn't know. Isn't that insane?
That's
insane.
Insane.
It's insanity to me. It's insanity. You get as far away from him as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I was still friends with his mother. I don't give a shit. Her son is a psychopath.
Yeah.
What? You understand what I'm saying? So that's why I had
to
check
for them to still hang out though, because the mama should know her child better than anything.
Thank you. Your son tried to kill me. Yeah, I know he tried to kill you, but we going to the casino. Fuck all that shit. Stay away from him. But my bad, Joe. I had to jump on. We got an ass whoop, so I ran home. I got my headphones, but I had to just a great show. I'm gonna go back on mute. Go ahead.
I'm in the building.
And I had to go on Donnie. You dig?
You playing games with me, dog. So
trying to tell Donnie.
So I'm gonna get back. So for those who did just join, I was reading the 7 types of friends that you're allowed to leave behind and move on from life. And so we were on number 2. This one is number 3. It says friends you accidentally hooked up with and started being ghosted by. So it says when the friendship is that close, there's a slight chance that one might slip up on slippery slope and end up smashing. They didn't say that, but I'm just saying the word smashing.
Freak be doing that.
It says the trouble arises when this random hooker.
Get that man
fuck
in
trouble. Fuck ass nigga is what he is.
It says the trouble arises when this random hookup has a bearing on your friendship and the other one starts acting up all weird. Time to cut strings and move on. So they basically saying you got a female friend and y'all end up smashing. And mm-hmm. after you smash the female friend, shit get weird. And they saying after that, just cut the friendship. So
meaning after that happened, she wanted, like, things got weird, like you didn't know if you wanted, like, you mentally can't go back to where you were, or one of them might catch feelings. The guy might start catching the feelings
first. Less. But basically they saying regardless of what happens, you let the shit go. That's number four. I mean, that's number three. Now, number four is
I wouldn't let it go though. But go ahead.
Number four is friends you weren't really friends with. So it says these are the ones that come into the pack with a few of your friends that you have put up with simply out of social obligation rather than an actual connection. So there's no point in trying to maintain friendships that are forced and that give you no joy. So it's like you and a crew full of people, and you probably only really see this friend when the whole crew hang out, but they not really your friend. I'm only friends with you because of that. I really don't fuck with you like that.
That happens
like that.
a whole lot, though.
After the crew don't hang out, I ain't fucking with you. You weren't really my people like that anyway.
That's the type of friendship.
He talking like he done did that before.
Well, I haven't done that, but I have when I was younger. There were times where it might be a friend that I really fuck with, and then they'd be around a couple guys who just give me the wrong vibe. Okay. And so I'm the type of person that when that would happen, I just not gonna come around anybody because I can't be around people that I don't fuck with.
Somebody get on here.
What, man? That's me, man. I'm making my drink, man. Y'all, hey, I'm trying to do my thing. I just got my ass whooped. I'm trying to get my drink on real quick, T.
So I've been in that situation. If I don't really fuck with the people, I can't be around them. That's even when I was young, I was like that. So
Yeah,
but you don't want to be around them. But the problem is, whenever you're around your people, they keep bringing the people around. You know what I mean? Whether it's the girl or the guy.
And I'm the type of person, since I was young, I would escort myself away. I'll play it off, you know what I mean?
But
I can't be around people that don't give the right vibe.
Of course, you
can tell if I don't like somebody or if it ain't working, because if I'm quiet in that setting,
that's a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
What was you about to say, T-Streets?
Nah, he better than me. If somebody's around that I don't fuck with, it's gonna show. And I may say something. Weekend at Junior's over in Orleans Village, when they used to live over there at the trap, used to bring somebody that I ain't fuck with from high school.
He used to bring a whole lot of corny niggas over there. He used to bring a whole lot of corny niggas over there.
This nigga?
Yeah, I feel you, T Street.
Man, we get that Julius has some funny characters over there.
Now, number five is friends who stayed in touch only when they needed favors. I know these. The selfish ones who call themselves like friends and they only appeared in your life and your call logs when they needed your notes or clothes or some money. These are the kinds of people you need to cut off in your life sooner than later, unless you want to keep them exploited, you know, exploit the friendship. So we all probably have friends that only call when they want something or need something. Are those really friends? I've had friends where, you know, sometimes you can be the friend that everybody tells, gives their sorrows to you, but when it's time for you to tell them what's going on in your life,
they don't want to
hear the shit.
You better preach it.
But you can tell me all your shit.
Right. And so that's kind of how the relationship. Okay, so that's your role, right? Your role is to listen to what I'm dishing out, right? But I'm not a good listener. I'm just a good disher.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Right. That's why I need you in a relationship. So I tell you shit.
But that's not fair.
But I obviously don't have my own answers. You feel what I'm saying? But when it's time for you to tell me, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, why am I even talking to this nigga? So I'm the person that people talk to. I never tell people shit. Like, I'll talk to them, but I already have it in my mind how I'm gonna handle it. But I might take time. But it's like, cause
did he cut it?
Yeah, he cut off. So number six.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.
Number six is friends who ignore you the moment they get in a relationship.
Oh, oh man.
It's a lot of people like that. People really do that. I have female friends, and I always knew when they got in a relationship with a dude because we wouldn't talk as much, which I get, you know, because you can't, you know what I'm saying? I understand that portion of it. But you always had to remember that a lot of times, sometimes relationships don't last long, but friendships can last a lifetime. Yay. So you just got to be careful how you do that. And then number seven, and the last one, is friends you only meet at parties. It says the friends you only meet and greet when you go. I ain't been in no party in a long ass time.
He said Reek. He said Reek.
A 20-something year old. Shit, I don't know. Last time I went to a party and met somebody and we became friends at no fucking party. But, that's some young shit.
I've heard that before.
No, I'm sure we probably have any younger, but I did that about
I think it was 2 years ago. 2 years ago on my birthday, it was a white girl. Her name was Kylie. Shout out to Kylie. She was a good friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, but we was only good to party with. We had a lot of fun partying.
Yeah,
it'd be like that, man. I hang out, but going to a party, yeah. I don't know about no parties and shit. So those are the seven. Those are the seven, maybe this helps somebody out. Those are the seven type of friends that you're allowed to leave behind and move on from life. So, you know, I think at certain people, you should know who's real and who's fake. Sometimes it takes time to see people's true colors. A lot of times in friendships, if you don't go through certain shit, you really can't see a person full spectrum of who they are.
Right.
Depending on how deep y'all friendship is. But that's what we got right there.
Mm-hmm. Bang, 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 bang.
And so you made it just in time, Trey.
I made it just in time.
Just in time,
man.
To shout him out.
Reek be scared to do the name. So look, this is what we got.
What?
We got Dottie Leo. What's up, Dottie Leo? We got family. We got Miss Van Rob. She ain't here with us every week. We got Joel Senyo. What's up, Joel Senyo? We got Paul Bignon, foot specialist. Man, that's the best name that we ever had on here. We also have William O.C. in here. William O.C. We got that family. We got That's Interesting podcast in here with us. We got the infamous Tata in here with us.
She
you understand?
She want her Tata. Shirt.
Oh, she going to get it. I had to talk with Danya. And, we're going to get you straight.
All right, now Tata gonna be outside in five.
All right, no, I ain't playing no games.
Hey, we got my man Chuck. Oh shit, we got my man Chuck in here. We got my man Chuck in here. What's up? We got Shed Bear being here with us every week. We got Muriel Morgan. We got Kareel Seville in here with us. We have Apostle Pishon. What's up, Apostle Pishon? We got Mr. Arm Pie, what's up? We got Elizabeth Imani. We have Leopold Solomon. What's up? We got the Maven. The Maven been in here with us. We got Nadine. What's up, Nadine? We got Elizabeth Afari. Man, we deep in here. We got DGQ. We got Ori. What's up, Ori? Man, we deep in here. That's what we got. Appreciate y'all.
That's what's up, man. We got a lot of first-time listeners. So for my first-time listeners, I just want to let you know that we do this every week at 8 p.m. Follow us on Instagram at The Rec Room Pod. Once you follow us, you will see that in the bio there's a link. And that link will lead you to our YouTube page. On that YouTube page, we have live and in-person episodes. So we do this every week, but you can put a face with the name, a name with the face, and you can check out our on-camera episodes. You can also check out the pod everywhere pods are streamed. I still haven't done the Apple one. I'm slipping, but today I saw something, and I'm going to make sure that we get the pod on the Apple Music because that's one of the top ones.
Oh, that's what's
If you like what you hear, please share, tell a friend to tell a friend, subscribe to our YouTube page. As I always say, I forgot what the fuck I always say.
Everybody got a pod, but everybody got it.
Everybody has a pod, but everybody is in us. Till the next time, we out.
Peace.